This is the fifth episode of Doc from Andre Mystery. For the earlier episodes, please go to the archives. There are many spiritual traditions, particularly in the black arts, where the practitioner wants a piece of the subject of a rite to hold in her hand, or at least to behold up close and personal. Maybe a lock of hair or a piece of their clothing, something that brings their energy to the party, so to speak. Francie Leviard, the consulting detective who was trying to put a proper end to the drug thefts from Doc Hardwick's office, wasn't trying to get a piece of these people, at least not yet, but she did want to get a personal feel for whom she was dealing with, so she drove out to Carmel Valley to get a look at their house. Their house was actually two houses, one a smaller carbon copy of the other. The main house was probably 1,400 square feet, and the smaller unit, half that size. The main house sat close to the road, while the smaller unit was in the right rear corner of the lot. They were both simple single-story buildings with pale green aluminum siding. It looked like the contractor had gotten a deal on materials and built the contractee a twofer. Before Francie had driven out, she had checked the area for similar addresses. Indeed, their property was on Calabasas Drive, and not too far away was Calabasas Court. She had also pulled out one of her favorite props. It was a pad that she'd had printed up with the name and logo of a non-existent real estate company. On the top sheet, she had written Rental, then beneath it, the correct number of their house and Calabasas Court. Francie then tore off the note, as she would have gotten it from the realtor, and set off for a look-see. Her ride out the valley had been delayed until Doc Hardwick had left Monterey for his day job, which was as a member of Congress. Francie had told him she didn't want to step onto the stage, as it were, with him in town. He departed for Washington after the end of the summer break. Francie drove out to the address and got out of her car, clutching the piece of paper as she walked up to the main house. It being a Tuesday morning at 10:30, she expected the homeowner and the drug theft suspect, Eileen Adler, to be on the job at Doc's office. Francie didn't just presume. She had called the doc to confirm her schedule. Also, there was no car in the driveway. Of course, it was possible that the son was home, Francie was guessing in the rear unit, and it was for him that she had brought the piece of paper. She knocked on the front door of the main house, waited, knocked again. Then she did what any potential renter would do. She walked around the house looking through the windows. The walking she could do, but not the looking. The blinds were lowered on all of the windows, and there were drapes closed behind the blinds, even in the back of the house. She had circled the house and then stopped, pondered, and walked toward the smaller house. From what she could see as she approached, the blinds and drapes were the same and similarly positioned. When she was about 10 feet away, the front door opened suddenly, and a young man appeared, standing on the doorsill. He was barefoot, wearing worn jeans and no shirt. His skin was white and looked more so because he had goth tattoos on his arms, chest, and neck. Francie recognized him, however, from his booking photo in the news accounts. He was Gary Adler. "Oh," she said, pretending surprise, "I'm here about the rental." He stood still, looking her over in a way that made her want to take a shower. "Are you the owner?" she asked brightly. She approached gingerly. "My real estate agent said this property was for rent." She held up the piece of paper and gave him her best confused expression. He didn't take the paper, but he looked at it. "Ain't for rent," he said. "Oh, but it says you got the wrong address. This is Calabasas Drive. That says Court." She might have given him credit for noticing, and even asked directions to the other location, but there wasn't the opportunity. He stepped back and shut the door firmly. "Oh," she said again, for effect, to no one at all. She stood for a moment, then turned and walked back to the car, as any innocent would. In case he was watching, she took out a map and looked at it, as if she were searching for the correct address. Then she drove off. She reflected on what she had experienced about the house. It wasn't overtly intimidating, like the house above the Bates Motel, but with all the windows covered, there was a cloistered feeling about the place. As regards the young man, Francie thought Angelo's description, dangerous and crazy, were pretty much on the money. She wouldn't see him again, not without a bullet in the chamber. Next on her agenda was to see the nurse herself, and what better venue than the doc's office. As might be expected, his brief time back in the district meant that he didn't see many patients, and Francie had set it up with him that her appearance at his office didn't require that he be there. He would have her come to the office to pick up a prescription for fluocinolone for eczema, but he needed her to first fill out an inpatient form at his office. Francie knew she was taking a risk that the son would call his mother to mention her visit, but she didn't think that she had made such an impression on him that he needed to phone her rather than waiting until she had come home. Still, she took off the blue-checked shirt she'd worn to Calabasas Drive and put on an ochre vest over her T-shirt. She also lost the sunglasses that the son had seen her wearing. Walking into Doc's waiting room, she used her energy and posture to make her seem unimportant. Nurse Adler handed her a clipboard with a 3-page patient history form and a pen. Francie thanked her quietly and went across the room to fill it out and to check her out. She already knew that the nurse was 46 from scanning her records. With her undyed hair, which she wore pulled back tightly into a bun, she looked older and cold. The white uniform didn't help. She needed some color, but she wore no makeup. She never stood up, but Francie's impression was that she wasn't a large woman, maybe a couple of inches shorter than her son, who was probably 5'10". In the time it took Francie to carefully fill out the forms, she watched the nurse interact with the medical assistant and two patients and handle a couple of phone calls. She was all business, and some were between tired and, sigh, patient. There was also a brief exchange with Dr. Barrett, who came out from the back. Francie wouldn't say he seemed intimidated talking to the nurse, but it certainly wasn't the high point of his day. Francie noted, however, that he gave herself a pleasant smile before he disappeared back into the examination area. Francie didn't want to appear to be an idiot with the paperwork. She preferred to give no impression at all, so she didn't dawdle beyond reason. When she returned the clipboard to Nurse Adler, she kept her eyes down and waited for her to go through it to clear her. "Looks okay," she said. "Here's your prescription," she added, handing her the slip. Then Francie noticed that the woman narrowed her gaze at her, as though she recognized Francie, but she didn't say anything. The nurse managed a half-smile. Francie returned it and left. On her way home, Francie sorted through her observations and feelings about the woman. She not only scanned what she had seen and heard and felt, but she revisited the recollections from the perspective of how she might have appeared if Francie hadn't known anything about her. While Maligna didn't rise to the top of the list of descriptions, Francie also wouldn't have sat next to her on a bus. From what she could tell, Francie would have been surprised to discover that the doc and Angela were wrong about this woman. "Allô, fiami," Francie said when Ariane Chavas answered the phone. "I know it is you," she said in her delicious French accent, which she had made no effort to shed during her decades of living in the United States. "But what, pray tell, is fiami?" "Glad you asked, Ariane," Francie said. "You know how they use the expression girlfriend here all the time?" "Oui, bien sûr, c'est absurde. I was just trying out the French version. Fille amie, girlfriend." "Ah, and I am of the great hope that you perhaps had another reason to call, yes?" "But of course," Francie replied in her own French accent. They both laughed. "Here's the deal," she said. "I need you to put some electronic gear in a doctor's office for me. Nothing fancy, maybe a no-light camera and a couple of ears." "Mais c'est possible, certainement. But will this doctor know?" "Actually, yes, and that's the point." "Oh, so you want to force something, is that it?" "You are so smart, Ariane," Francie said. "No wonder we are friends." "Both ways, girlfriend," Ariane said, and they laughed again. Then Francie explained what she wanted Ariane to do. What was the plan? Was it time to wrap up the case? Were the police to be called in? Major developments unfold in Episode 6 of Doc, right here on February 15th.